السلام علیکم ورحمۃ اللہ وبرکاتہ. الحمد للہ وکفا والصلاة والسلام على سیدن المصطفی صلی اللہ علیہ وعلى آلہ واصحابہ وبارک وسلم تسلیما کثیرا کثیرا. أما بعد فقد قال الله تبارك وتعالى أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم اليوم أكملت لكم دينكم وأتممت عليكم نعمتي ورضيت لكم الإسلام دينا صدق الله العظيم. We all know very well that this verse of the Quran Sharif was revealed on the plains of Arafat. It was in the last pilgrimage of Rasulullah Pak sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and Nabi alayhi salatu wasallam was mounted on his camel, the Quswa. It was that Mubarak day on which this ayat of the Quran Sharif was revealed. It is not my purpose to go into the tafsir of this ayat, but my dear brothers and also our sisters at the madrasa, we are discussing fitnas. We are discussing the different types of fitnas. And the solution to the fitnas, or protection from all those fitnas, lies in the implementation of this ayat of the Quran Sharif in our lives, in which Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala, He perfected the deen for us. He completed His favors upon the ummah of Rasulullah Pak sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and He chose Islam as the way of life. So if we choose Islam as the way of life for ourselves, for our children, for our families, in other words, we become practical Muslims. If we adapt ourselves, if we change ourselves and not change Islam to suit us. At present, we change Islam to suit us. But if we change ourselves and we commit ourselves to the teachings of Islam, to the teachings of the Quran, to the teachings of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, then we will definitely be protected from the fitnas. So the fitnas are going to increase now. The fitnas are going to come down, like how the tasbih, when the thread snaps, then one bead after the other comes falling down. That is how it is going to increase. As we come closer to the days of Qiyamah, we will see the fitnas increasing. And there will be no other way of protecting oneself except in good environment, good company, the masajid, the khanqahs, the tabligh and dini activities. If a person is going to keep himself occupied after he has spent whatever amount of time is required and essential for his daily living and for earning his risk and sustenance, if he is going to keep himself in this type of company, then he will be protected from the fitnas. If not, then he is going to get carried away. He is going to get washed away. Because besides the different fitnas that we have already discussed, one of the fitnas which I briefly mentioned was a fitna which is termed as a blind fitna. Now the fitna cannot be blind. What it means is that we will become blind to that fitna. The fitna, when it is going to come into our homes, into our lives, into our shops, into our marriages and walimas, into our even dini programs, we are not going to be able to differentiate. We will become blind to those fitnas. Or as has been mentioned in another hadith, about the fitnas being like the dark patches of the night, that the person, he will go to sleep as a Muslim and he will get up as a disbeliever or as a kafir. Or in the morning he will be a Muslim, and by the time it comes the evening before he goes to bed, he would have uttered such kind of statements of kufr that he will sleep with kufr. So those type of fitnas have already come. Every day we are listening with our ears such kind of statements, and we are reading in the kitabs or in the magazines that come from India, Pakistan and other places, even in the Arabic language, from the Arab lands, the type of fitnas that have already come, they are very shocking. So we have to be on our guard, we have to be careful that we do not get carried away. Therefore, one thing which I had mentioned some time back, and I repeated it, I think, in many majlises, because it was so important, was that hadith of Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam, in which he climbed onto a small hillock, and from there, the sahabas were standing at the bottom, and Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam asked them, that do you see what I see? Now the person who is standing on top definitely is going to see something different. He will have a better view from the top than the person who is at the bottom. So Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam then said, La aral fitan. Now they thought he is going to talk something about what he is seeing from there. But that was Rasulullah Pak sallallahu alayhi wasalam. He was not an ordinary person. His sight, his gaze was not limited to the material things of this world. Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam was not only seeing the environment, that how beautiful the scenery is and how beautiful the grass is growing and how lush the garden is. That was not his maqsad. Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam said, La aral fitan. What I am seeing is I am seeing fitnas. Now how we cannot see with our eyes fitnas. Now Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam is saying that I am seeing fitnas coming. And he says, تَقَعُ خِلَالَ بُيُوتِكُمْ مَوَاقِعَ الْقَطْرِ وَرُوِيَ الْمَطْرِ حَيْفِ الْكَسْرَةِ وَالشُّيُوُ وَعَدَمِ التَّخْصِيصِ بِطَائِفَةِ Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam, he said that I am seeing fitnas. I'm giving you the explanation of this hadith. He says, I am seeing fitnas. Now who is he addressing? He is addressing his companions in whose life there was no fitna. How, what kind of fitna can there be in the life of a sahabi when Rasulullah is amidst them? When he is amongst them, what kind of fitna? But he is seeing something that is going to come, whether it's going to come 100 years later or 1400 years later or 1800 years later. Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam is warning his companions. He says that I am seeing, if you put the other hadiths together in which the same mazmoon has been mentioned, that he says that I am seeing these fitnas, they are pouring onto the roofs of your homes, or they are entering into your homes, like how rain, when it comes very, very heavily, when very heavy downpour there is, then how it penetrates and it enters every crevice. In the same way, he says, I am seeing those fitnas entering your homes. So I mentioned, I recalled in some 2-3 years ago, I think that hadith was discussed, but I mentioned that at that time, imagine, when Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam mentioned it, at that time in the homes of those sahabas, there was no fitna. There was no fitna at all. Anything that happened in their lives, if there was anything that disturbed them, or if there was anything that they did out of ignorance, then immediately Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam corrected them. Because it was still a period of tarbiyah. Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam, wahi was coming, he was informing them. And as I mentioned in some other majlis too, that was that period of tarbiyah. Those isolated incidents that we get, that some sahabi committed zina, some sahabi committed theft, some sahabi committed this or that, they are just isolated. And there too it was mainly by confession that the punishment was meted out. But it was for the sake of tarbiyah, that if this happens in the ummah, then what must be done? There had to be the law and it had to be set. So Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam was amongst them and there was no question of fitna in their homes. Now at that time Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam is saying that I am seeing that it's pouring into your homes. Now those of us who go to Makkah Sharif and Madina Sharif, we may be living in Hilton Hotel and we may be living in Madina Sharif in all those hotels that are nearby, the Rauza-e Aqdas sallallahu alayhi wasalam. There are all kinds of hotels there. And we go and live in them. But we have to remember that those hotels, they were the homes of the sahabas at one time. Those hotels, what were they at one time? Those were the homes of the sahaba kiram, Ridwanullah alayhim ajma'in. And Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam mentioned at that time that I am seeing fitnas pouring into those homes. So he was not talking about those sahabas immediately in his lifetime, that in their homes at that time some fitnas were pouring. But if we have to now go and look at those same hotels in which we reside, whether it is for Hajj or for Umrahs, what do we find in those hotels? Let us be very honest. What do we find in those hotels if it's not fitnas of the extreme nature? Extreme nature. Would Rasulullah Pak sallallahu alaihi wasallam, or in his time, would any sahabi have tolerated a big photograph in the home? Now which hotel can you enter there where you don't see King Fahad and King this and King that and King Abdul Aziz and all the whole wall is plastered with every kind of picture there. Is that not a major fitna that has entered? Then if we have to look at the videos, the movies, the films that are being shown on the television screens, which hotel room in those 5-star and 6-star and 3-star hotels does not have a television there? The first thing that the Haji does after he reads Salat and Salam, he wants to see what's on the television. Not only that, in the month of Ramadan, they get tired. After 8 rakats and 10 rakats of Taraweeh, they see lots of people walking out, so they also walk out. And if you have to know where they went, then they are glued to the television. So look at that fitna. Then look at the large number of people that are living in those hotels who don't even make the namaz. There are so many there, they are receptionists, or they engage in some other work there, and some of those owners of those hotels do not even allow them to go and make their namaz with jamaat in the Haram Sharif. And yet there is no fear, they don't have that kind of fear that we have here of burglary and break-in and hold-ups, nothing of that nature. Then if you have to look at the dressing, there are so many who are hajis, there are so many who are living there for years, and they are working in those hotels, and you will not even make them out whether he is a Muslim or what is he. Because outwardly there is no sign of Islam. Although we know that there is no one else besides Muslim in Makkah Sharif and Madinah Sharif, that's the only reason that we can close our eyes and make salam. In fact, this is another very important thing, especially when these Hajj Bayans take place, then you hear there that hadith of Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam about the sifats of a haji, that he feeds and he makes salam in abundance. Now we may wonder that why did he mention this salam? There are so many things, there's hikmat, there's wisdom, we cannot even understand. But the point that comes to mind is this, besides the other things, that when the person is going to make salam, then he's assuring that person, he's guaranteeing him that, look, I am your Muslim brother. I am making salam to you. And salam does not only mean that may you enjoy peace this morning. What salam means is that I am assuring you, I am guaranteeing you that I am not going to cause any injury, hurt or pain or damage to your life, to your property, to your respect, to your honor. From my side you can remain secure. You can feel safe. And also I pray that Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala give you peace, happiness, in the morning, in the evening, in the afternoon, and in this world, and in the qabr, and in the akhirat. Now look at how much of du'as the person is giving. Now when he is going to reply, wa alaykum as-salam, then he is also repeating the same du'as. So that we understand. But at the same time, that is one place where people just walk past, and yet there is no need to even look at that person whether he is a Muslim or not. There is no question of any doubt that there's only Muslims in Makkah Sharif and Madinah Sharif. So we can close our eyes and make salam. But there we will find people just passing by and hardly any lip moving with salam. Because we take it for granted. Now this, we are not saying that, I mean, you will just carry on making salam, 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 otherwise you'll never even reach the Haram Sharif. But as you are walking past, one, two salam this side, one, two salam that side, people are passing, crossing, but there will be no salam. Very few people will really make salam. So Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam, in this hadith where he's talking about those fitnas, so he says that I am seeing that it is pouring into your homes. So besides the other fitnas that came after Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam passed away from this world, otherwise we believe in Hayatun Nabi, but those fitnas besides that, if we have to look at the present time, then those were the homes of the Sahaba-e-Kiram Ridwanul Alayhim Ajma'in. And we can see what kind of fitnas have entered those homes. We just cannot imagine that those were the very homes in which Hazrat Abu Hurairah radiallahu ta'ala anhu, of course he lived mostly as with the Ashab-e-Suffa, but besides him, if you look at all the other companions of Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam, so many of them, they all resided around there. So these fitnas, now what is the makhraj? What is the way out? In one hadith sharif, نزل جبرائيل عليه الصلاة والسلام على رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم فأخبره. حضرت جبرائيل عليه الصلاة والسلام came to رسول پاک صلى الله عليه وسلم and informed him, ستكون فتن, there will be fitnas. Now again حضرت جبرائيل عليه الصلاة والسلام is coming and informing نبي عليه الصلاة والسلام that there will be fitnas. So Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam questions as a Jibreel alayhi salatu wasalam that what is the makhraj, what is the way out, ya Jibreel? How are my people, my ummati, how is he going to come out of those fitnas when they are going to be lashing at him from all sides? When they will be like the waves of the ocean, musalsal, the waves continue if you have to look at the waves one after the other, it just carries on and on and on. Reminds me of my Shaykh Hazrat Mawlana Hakim Awadh Akhtar Sahib, that beautiful little couplet. سمندر کا ساحل پہاڑوں کا دامن بجز آہ کے کچھ ہمارا نہیں ہے. And after that what does he say? He says یہ موجے مسلسل نہیں ختم ہوتی ہے, یہ موجے مسلسل, these waves, they just go on and on and on, میرے بحر غم کا کوئی کنارہ نہیں ہے. This gham of mine, this pain of mine, it seems as if there is no end to it. Besides the other meanings to it, this is one of the meanings, that this pain, the person who has gone ashik of Allah and ashik of Rasul-e-Pak sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he will have to take until his dying day. There's going to be no end to it. If we think that one time we lowered our gaze and now that's the end of the story, it's not going to be like that. Or one time temptation came to commit some sin and after that it's going to die down. So it's not going to be like that. These temptations will continue. The evil desires will come into the hearts. Shaitan and nafs will keep on attacking the person. Allah. It is a musalsal wave. These waves will continue. Mere behre gham ka koi kanara nahi hai. There's no shore to this gham. But at the same time, what does Allah Ta'ala give on that gham? Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala, on that gham, He gives halawat-e-imani. The sweetness of iman is given to that person on that pain that he is taking of restraining himself all the time. People are enjoying themselves in haram entertainment and pleasures, and this person, he is restraining himself, is taking that pain all the time in his heart. So Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala is filling into his heart iman. How many times you have already heard that the sugar cane is bamboo stick. Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala is the one who puts sweetness into the sugar cane. If he did not put sweetness into that sugar cane, then it would have been ordinary stick. There would have been no value to that stick. But we know that millions and billions of tons of sugar has already been consumed by the world, and we do not know until when it will continue. Who is it that is putting it? Otherwise in the ground, if you have to take the earth, and you have to sift it, and you have to take it to the laboratories, and you can make all the tests that you like, you won't find any sugar in the earth. So Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala, if He can put sweetness, this is the thing that Allah Ta'ala has kept, that we must take lessons from all these things. That if He can put sweetness into stick, then what is it difficult for Him to put sweetness into a piece of flesh? The sweetness in the stick is going to be of a different nature, and the sweetness in the heart is going to be of a different nature. That sweetness will sweeten our mouths, and this sweetness in the heart is going to bring us such ecstasy and joy and pleasure that what does the sugar know what sweetness is? This is what will happen, but it is a moje musalsal. Nahi khatma hoti hai ye moje musalsal. These waves will continue until the person's dying day. Hatta ya'tiyakal yaqeen. Until the person has left this world, these things will continue. So Hazrat Nabi Akram Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, he asked Hazrat Jibreel Alayhi Salatu Wasalam that what is the makhraj? How is my ummah going to come out of these fitnas when they are going to come? They are going to come, but how are they going to come out? Hazrat Jibreel Alayhi Salatu Wasalam said, Kitabullah. He said, Kitabullah, the kalam of Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala, the Quran Sharif. When they are going to make amal on the teachings of the Quran Sharif and the Sunnah of Nabi Alayhi Salatu Wasalam, then they will come out of those fitnas. If not, then the person will become blind to those fitnas. He will not even know that the fitna has come in his life, in his home. He will become totally blind to those fitnas. The heart will become sealed. The heart will become totally sealed. So the Shah Waliullah Rahmatullah Alayhi in his Hujjatullah, there, besides the other fitnas that he has mentioned, then he says that one of the important fitnas, or one of the fitnas that will come, is the fitna in the person's own life. The person's own life fitna. And then he says that what will be that fitna? What will be that fitna in the person's own nafs? In the person's own nafs, that fitna that will come, then what will be that fitna? He said that fitna will be that the person's heart will become very hard. أَيَقْصُوَ قَلْبُ His heart will become very hard. And when the heart becomes very hard, then that person, it becomes extremely difficult to explain to that person about deen, about sharia, about the Quran, about the sunnah. In fact, everything the person will make a mockery of, he will find all kinds of criticism. And because it is very difficult on his nafs to practice, so therefore he will make statements which will be of kufr, because the heart has become very hard and it has become sealed. Now this fitnatul rajul fi nafsihi, it is the most difficult thing. It is something that we have to be on our guard all the time. That the moment the person has committed some sin, we are human beings and we are bound to make mistakes and err and commit sins. But the moment the person has committed a sin, then don't move without plenty of tawbah and istighfar. Don't let another sun rise, or don't let another sun set, without having made plenty of tawbah and istighfar, which we may call as a same day service. That same day, how they say they have all these dry cleaners, the same day service. The clothes got dirty, you bring it in, same day we give it back to you. Wow. Clean and shining, bright and white. So wow. In the same way, the person has committed a sin. Now let there be a same day service. Wow. Not even same day, same minute service. Postpone that breakfast. Delay that lunch. Don't have supper. Punish yourself in whichever way you wish. But say that I have displeased my Allah. And it means that I am trapped in a fitna. Therefore, I am not going to eat or drink until I have made plenty of tawbah from this sin. Then see how Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala, with that tawbah, He will raise us to that same stage that He raises the muttaqeen. Because we are weak, there are lots of fitnas, we are trapped in different kinds of situations. So purposely we do not go to nearer the fitnas. Unfortunately, today we go forward to the fitnas. Then we say we are trapped. I don't know whether I mentioned that one person, he came out of this filthy, dirty habit of his of watching the dirty movies and films and everything. And he even made sincere tawbah from all his other sins. Then he tells me himself, he says, Maulana, you are right, 100% correct. He says that one day I picked up the newspaper and again the desire came that let me just look at that column, because he used to watch some soap on the television. He was addicted to it. So he says, let me just see what programs are still carrying on. And just watching those programs, now there was no need for him to look at those programs. The person who has made tawbah from that sin, now what is the need for him to see what Mnet is showing and Eastnet is showing and Shaitan's net is showing? There's no need for it. But now he went to look at it. Now when he looked at it, he saw, he says again, that there was some dirty film that was going to be shown that night. And he says, I got caught in that fitna again. So can you see how? Now Shaitan whispered, that what does it matter? You're not going to really be seeing it. But just for information. So we should not even go for that information which will lead to fitna. That information which will then lead to fitna, there is no need for that information. There's so much to learn, there's so much to read about, there's so much to talk about, there's so much to do. Then what is the need to read that, which is not going to give us any kind of benefit in this world or in the qabr or in the akhirat? What benefit is there? Unfortunately, we don't. This is that fitna what we are talking about, that blind fitna. That we do not even question ourselves that this what I am doing, what is the benefit? It is human nature that he does not want anything that will cause him harm. Any human being who is in his senses, he wants to ward off any kind of problem, difficulty, evil. He does not want to be hurt, injured. He does not want to damage his life, his property, or anybody else to damage his life, property, health. That is human nature. So therefore, if we only question ourselves, that if I read this filthy, dirty article, what is going to be the benefit in it? If I'm going to watch this film, after that 1 hour or 2 hours, what have I really put into my life? What happiness has it really brought? Or has it brought nothing but restlessness? May Allah Ta'ala make us maaf, but those school days when we used to go and see those films in the cinemas, in the days of Jahiliyyah, when you come outside for a couple hours after that, your mind is clogged. Fog has covered your hearts. There's a restlessness in there, because you want to do exactly what you have seen on the screen. And all those people who then afterwards give their hearts to those film actresses, or those women to those film actors, do they get them? If they write letters to them and they receive a reply, they get so thrilled that they received a reply. That person does not even know who wrote that letter. It's a standard reply. And here the person gets so happy that the film actor replied, film actress replied. And what has it brought? Nothing but restlessness. Nothing but restlessness. So the person, if he just questions himself that what will I get if I have to indulge in this sin, what will I get? Then he will restrain himself if he's a sensible person, because he's going to get nothing but restlessness, nothing but misery in his life. Because once Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala will become displeased, then there cannot be happiness. There cannot be happiness. Allah. And on the other hand, read the letters of those people who have changed their lives and have made sincere tawbah, and see what they have to say, what they are finding now in their lives. Yes, criticism of theirs will continue. People will criticize them, that these people are depriving themselves of music, of fun, of pleasure, entertainment, cinemas, theaters, gambling dens, see where we can go and what we can do. And these people are restraining themselves, what they are enjoying in life. Their lives are boring. But the one who has got Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala with him, how can his life ever be boring? Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala, how can a person's life ever be boring? Because he is the creator of happiness. He is the creator of the universe. He is the creator of everything. And when he is the creator of those gardens and the beauty and everything that is around. So when he comes into the heart, he comes with all those sifats of his into the heart. So the person in a capsule form is getting everything. In a capsule form is getting everything in his heart. But again, it requires a little bit of effort. Just a little effort, and see where in these days Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala takes the person. Just this morning I was replying to one fax that came of a person who saw Rasul Pak Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam standing, but what in the condition that he saw him, that he is at a video shop. Nabi Alayhi Salatu Wasalam is at a video shop. And Nabi Alayhi Salatu Wasalam is clean shaven. He's got a t-shirt, and he's got a jean or something on. And he is, I don't remember clearly, but whether he's playing or he's watching that video. Now obviously, what does it mean? Does it mean Na'uzu Billah, Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam is like that? Or the person is seeing a reflection of himself? Or somebody close to him? So this is what I am saying, that it shows what injury we are causing, what pain we are causing to our Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam. That the Muslim ummah for whom he shed so much of tears, that Muslim ummah for whom he cried so much, for whom he shed so much of his blood, for whom his son-in-law, Hazrat Usman radiallahu ta'ala anhu, became shaheed. Hazrat Umar radiallahu ta'ala anhu, his son-in-law, became shaheed. Father-in-law became shaheed. Hazrat Ali radiallahu ta'ala anhu, his son-in-law, became shaheed. Hazrat Fatima radiallahu ta'ala anha, when she was a little baby, at that time ostracized 3 solid years in Shaab ibn Abi Talib, the Nabi of Allah. No food, no drink. The time comes when they have to even chew leather to survive. Stoned in Taif, stoned in Uhud, stoned in so many places. Allah. when he is informed that that ummat for whom you stood whole night in prayer and your feet swelled, videos, movies, cinemas, theaters, casinos, drugs, gambling, fornication, adultery, music, everything that you ask them to refrain from and restrain from, they are indulging wholesale. No concern also. Then if we get earthquakes, and if we get gale force winds, and if we get floods, and if we get other kinds of disasters, it is nothing unexpected. When the Muslim Ummah is going to indulge in a large scale, go to Bombay and see what do you see there. The cinemas are filled with whom? Who are acting in those films? Whose names do you see in those films? Dancing away with those women and indulging in adultery and fornication. Unconcerned with beautiful Muslim names, beautiful Muslim names. Don't you hear the name of Muslim sisters who are acting in those films? The most popular films, who is acting in those films? Nevertheless, we must make plenty of dua for those people, and we must open our hearts and assist them, because it's not only there, anywhere else in the world it can happen, and we are none the better. Our condition is none the better. If we have to go to the casinos and we have to go to the other places in the vice dens, then because our population is small, therefore we see a smaller number. But in reality, we are none the better. How many percent of the Muslim Ummah in this country make the namaz 5 times a day, fast, give zakat, stay away from all the haram? How many percent? So these were the disasters that Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam predicted, that they will increase close to Qiyamah. There will be an increase in these natural disasters. He said there will be an increase: earthquakes, tremors, gale force winds, floods. Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala will send his azab in different forms. Now from one end to the other end of the country it went through, and yet Pakistan is not prepared to open its eyes and heart and see that what can happen. If you have to go to Pakistan, it's none the better. Go and see all those big, big boards there, cinema advertisement boards. So Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala, he has got no connection with names. Allah ta'ala has got no connection with names. Muslim names, it's a very good thing. Again, that example which I gave, and alhamdulillah, in Madina Sharif, a person brought some sweets and gave me. And he says, Maulana, these sweets I'm giving to you as a hadiyah, because that example of yours made me give up my sins. I said, which example? Where? I said, if a person has, the example is that if a person has got a shop, he's got a business, and there he puts a big board, big signboard. And what does he write on the signboard? That we are stockists of what? Sweets, chocolates, biscuits, cakes, cold drinks, and all the delicacies. We have all those kind of things here. Beautiful. Now when the customer goes inside there after reading that signboard, what does he expect inside there? Inside there, what must he expect? Sweets, chocolates, biscuits, whatever has been advertised, that is what he must expect inside there. But now when he walks inside there, he sees one bag full of cow dung, another bag full of horse dung, some dead donkeys and dogs, and some filthy pigs. So what would he think of that shop? You see, your signboard showed something else, and inside your shop you've got something else. He will hold his nose and run from there. What does this example convey to us? That outwardly we have got signs, our names. Yunus is a Muslim name, it's a sign. All the Muslim names, beautiful names: Muhammad, Ahmad, Mahmud, Dawood, Musa, Isa, all these beautiful names that we have, they are signs. Then we have got our beards. Most of us have got beards. That's another sign that we are stocking something inside. Then if we have got tasbih in our hand, then it's another sign. If we have got kurtas and pajamas, it's a further sign. All these are signs that I am a Muslim. These are outward signs. This is that signboard that I am a Muslim. Oh, you non-Muslim, look at me, I am a Muslim. And oh, you Muslim, also look at me, I am a Muslim. In other words, those traits, those qualities, those sifats that's supposed to be in the heart of a Muslim and in the life of a Muslim, I've got in my life. What are those traits and qualities? Honesty, charity, sincerity, generosity, kindness, piety, taqwa, zuhud, shukr, sabr. This is that chocolate, sweet, biscuits, cakes, what I stock inside here. I'm a Muslim, so this is what I stock inside my heart, and this is what I have in my life. Now when the person deals with us, when the person deals with us, associates with us, spends some time with us, or befriends us, or becomes a client of us, or becomes a student of ours, or becomes a teacher of ours, or becomes a father, or she becomes a mother or a sister, or an aunt or a granny. In other words, in whichever capacity now, when the person is now coming close to somebody else. Now all that signs that were there, that woman also who had a burqa and who had a niqab and who had a cloak, now all these were signs, additional signs, that she is not just a Muslim woman, she is a very pious Muslim woman. But now when they come into association, when they come into contact, then if that person finds in the heart and in the life of that person pride, anger, arrogance, jealousy, malice, greed, or bribe in the business, if it is a person dealing with government, then there's bribes, or there's corruption, or there is cheating in business, or stealing, or in that person's life there's gambling, there's fraud, there's adultery, there's fornication, that person cannot be trusted with his own sister to travel, cannot be trusted with his own cousin and his own niece. What incidents we are hearing of. So that is that stalking now. Outside the person had the signboard that I am a Muslim, and it was expected that as a Muslim now inside his heart and in his life there was going to be all these things. But instead now he's finding cow dung in there, he's finding dead dogs in there, and he's finding dead cats there, and he's finding pigs in there, and he's finding scorpions in there, and he's finding snakes in there, and he's finding lions and cheetahs in there, because this is what is now in his life. So that person expected all those beautiful sifats of a Muslim, and instead now he's finding all these type of things. So what would we think, just as we don't, what would be our impression of that business person? The same would be our impression of this person. This is the reason why we are not finding Islam spreading as it used to spread in the days of the past, in the time of Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam and the Sahaba ikram. Islam was not in the kitabs, it was in their lives. Islam was in their lives. So this person said that example of yours, Allah says, it made me really think that indeed, should I not change myself? What I supposed to be with my outward, what I am expressing, then shouldn't I have that inside me? He says, I made sincere tawbah from all my sins. And in Madina Sharif he mentioned that. So what I am getting across to you is that there is no doubt that we are already in the days of fitna, and the fitnas are increasing. Yes, by the way, that about the disaster in India, there is no doubt that we have to contribute, the Jamiat is launching a collection also. We must make dua also. It is a way that Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala gives shahadat also to many people who would not have reached that stage by means of their ibadah, zikr, tilawat. So some disaster of this nature and thousands of people get shahadat. So they are fortunate if they got shahadat. But indeed, thousands of homes have been destroyed. 400 school children disappeared from the surface of the earth. Whole village disappears from the surface of the earth. We have to take lessons from there too, and at the same time make dua for them and pour our hearts out for them. But this is something that really used to hurt me when I used to go to Bombay. And when you see those posters out there, the film actors, Muslim names, film actresses, Muslim names, and unconcerned. One is a person quietly, secretly committed some sin, and then he was so ashamed that he teared, he asked Allah for forgiveness, even if he committed that sin again and again too. But at that time he had no intention of returning to that sin, and he made every niyat of distancing himself from that sin, and he expressed his regret, his remorse, and he put himself on the musalla and he wet the musalla also with his tears, then Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala elevates that person, he raises him. And that person's sins also are concealed. Allah Ta'ala does not allow it to be propagated. People don't come to know about it. It dies down when Allah Ta'ala forgives that person. But the person who is unconcerned, and not only unconcerned, if he has to be informed that what you are indulging in is a sin. If a film actress has to be told that, or a film actor has to be told that, what would be his reply? You're orthodox, living in the camel age, stupid, foolish, I'm making millions from this film and you want to deprive me of my risk. They will say, you're depriving me of my risk. So Rasulullah Pak Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, when Hazrat Jibreel Alayhi Salatu Wasalam came to him and told him there will be fitnas, Nabi Alayhi Salatu Wasalam said, what will be the way out? He said, Kitabullah. Now in that same Kitabullah is Ma Atakumur Rasul Fakhuzu Wa Ma Nahakum Anhu Fantahu. Whatever Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam gives to you, in other words, whatever he instructs you, orders you, teaches you, tells you to do, then do it. Accept it from him. And whatever he asks you to restrain yourself from, whatever he says is haram, then just as Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala, if he declares something haram, it is haram. Then if Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam has declared something haram, it is haram. Because Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam, he does not say anything out of his own accord. Whatever he says, it is وَمَا يَمْتِقُ عَنِ الْهَوَىٰ إِنْ هُوَ إِلَّا وَحْيٌ يُوحَىٰ. Nothing is said of his own. Whatever it is the wahi of Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala. We could not progress very much, but whatever Allah ta'ala put into my mind, if it's beneficial for me or for anyone in the audience, then may Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala accept it. اللهم صل على سيدنا محمد وعلى آل سيدنا محمد وبارك وسلم اللهم ربنا ظلمنا أنفسنا وإن لم تغفر لنا وترحمنا لنكونن من الخاسرين اے اللہ ہمارے گناہوں کو معاف فرما صغیرہ کبیرہ عمدا خطا ظاہری باطنی ہر گناہ کو معاف فرما اے اللہ ہم سب کو صحت دے عافیت دے عزت دے سلامتی دے امن دے چین دے سکون دے اے اللہ ہر قسم کی آفتوں اور مصیبتوں اور بلاؤں سے ہماری حفاظت فرما او اللہ پروٹیکٹ us from every kind of fitna fitnas from our right fitnas from our left fitnas from behind us fitnas from in front of us fitnas from above us oh my beloved Allah which way do we turn but oh Allah if you decide to protect then there is nobody that can cause us any harm Allah protect us from all the fitnas The fitnas that are at present or the fitnas that are going to come in future. Ya Allah, protect us from all the fitnas. Ya Allah, fitnas of our nafs, fitnas of our wealth, fitnas of our children, fitnas in our businesses, fitnas in our schools and colleges, fitnas in our marketplaces, whatever fitna, Allah, protect us. Ey mere pyare khuda, mere rahim, kareem khuda, hum sab ki hifazat farma. Ya Allah, bless us with prosperity, with happiness, with joy, with satisfaction, with contentment, with sabr, with shukr, with zuhad, with taqwa. Ya Allah, the disaster which has struck India. Oh, my beloved Allah, those who have passed away and they were believers in you. Ya Allah, bless them with Jannatul Firdaus. Ya Allah, unko tu shahadat ki maut naseeb farma. Jo unke peeche reh gaye, unko sabr jameel aur ajr azim naseeb farma. Ya Allah, wahan par jitne log اس آفت اور مصیبت اور بلا کے اندر گرفتار ہو گئے اے اللہ ان سب کی پریشانیوں کو دور فرما ان سب کی پریشانیوں کو ختم فرما and oh Allah protect us also in this country from all kinds of fitnas and from all kinds of fitnas from all kinds of fasad from all kinds of disasters and from all kinds of tests and trials Ya Allah we know that we are none the better in this country oh my beloved Allah give us the tawfiq also of making amal ربنا تقبل منا انك انت السميع العليم وتب علينا انك انت التواب الرحيم ان الله وملائكته يصلون على النبي يا ايها الذين امنوا صلوا عليه وسلموا تسليما اللهم صل على سيدنا محمد وعلى ال سيدنا محمد وبارك وسلم
Subhana rabbika rabbil izzati amma yasifun wa salamun alal mursalin walhamdulillah.